Good morning. It's time for In the Green Outdoors with Carol Kelly and Gail Martin. Each week, the ladies will bring you planting and gardening ideas, tell you about native Ohio plants, prairies, and habitats. Great tips for everything in the green outdoors. This week with Gail Martin.
Good morning. This is Gail Martin coming to you with another segment of In the Green Outdoors. As promised, here I am with the third one on Ohio wild edible and medicinal trees and shrubs. Today's broadcast concerns more of these natives, which are not just useful for food and medicine, but also ornamental and quite useful to wildlife. Because there are so many of these to consider growing, I expect it's going to take me a couple of more episodes just to cover them. So today, I want to start out with ash trees. Ash trees make up of 10% of all trees in Ohio, or at least they did, but now they've been dying thanks to the emerald ash borer. This insect is a devastating pest, and it's caused the destruction of hundreds of millions of ash trees in at least 35 states in the United States. Although this beetle itself causes very little damage by feeding on leaves, when its eggs hatch, the larvae enter the tree through crevices in the bark and then feed on the inner tissues of the tree. This disrupts the tree's ability to transport water and nutrients, which gradually kills the tree. Many communities in various regions have ongoing programs to remove ash trees to slow the spread of the pest, and they also are issuing warnings against planting ash trees if the pest is known to be present or is expected to be arriving within the next few years. Here in Morrow County, the emerald ash borer has been around for a while, and we've lost a considerable amount of trees in our woodlot. So while efforts are underway to develop some ash varieties that will resist the emerald ash borer, so far, as I know, there are no surefire options. Existing trees can be treated with pesticides to protect them, but it's time-consuming, and some tell me it's a pretty expensive process. Now, the overplanting of ash trees in years following the introduction of Dutch elm disease has contributed to the current state that we have with the emerald ash borer. Ash trees are in the same genus as olives, which is a family of woody plants. They're often used for shade, lawn, and street trees, and were once the most planted urban tree across the United States. You can identify an ash by looking for trees with opposite branching, not many trees do this, and compound leaves, which are formed by clusters of leaflets. Ashes also tend to have a very distinctive bark. Ashes are dioecious, which means that the individual trees contain either male or female parts, but not both. Male trees can be chosen if you don't want the messiness of the fruit and seeds. And the fruits on ash trees are samaras, which are similar to the winged seeds of maples, and they're usually grouped in clusters on the stem. Ash trees are known for their wood, and ash is commonly used for making tool handles. It's a light, strong wood, and it has been popular for the construction of baseball bats as well. The same qualities that make it valuable for other sports equipment like hockey sticks and polo mallets. And ash has become less and less available and more expensive, and people are sometimes turning to green ash, which is now becoming popular for use in oars and canoe paddles. Now, ash seeds are edible, and they're often produced in a great abundance. And some folks have salted them and pickled them or even used them as a garnish. And sometimes they'll season food with them. These same seeds, which are quite edible, were often used by Native Americans as an aphrodisiac, sometimes as a diuretic, sometimes as an appetite stimulant, and sometimes it was used as a styptic, just like you would use a styptic pencil today to stop the bleeding. Some Indians used them as a cure for fevers as well. A tea made from the bark can also be used to treat irritation and itchy conditions, and the juice from the leaves was often used to treat mosquito bites. Ash trees are also a really important source of pollen for bees during the 2-week period in early spring when they bloom. They don't produce nectar, but they do produce the pollen. And ash seeds also provide food for birds, such as finches and cardinals. My next tree is the beech. The American beech is a gorgeous tree, long-lived, slow-growing, and can reach heights of up to 100 feet. Large diameter trees may be 3 to 4 feet across, and they'll grow massive, dense crowns. However, a beech tree is probably best known for its smooth gray bark, which is a favorite for lovers for carving their initials. During the dormant season, the buds of American beech can be up to 3/4 of an inch long, and they're distinctly shaped like a narrow, pointed cigar. Beech fruits are shiny, triangular brown nuts that are encased in a prickly burr and often found in pairs on short stalks. The leaves of beech trees are antibacterial, and they were traditionally used by Native Americans for treating tuberculosis. These same antibacterial leaves were also used as a poultice for burns. Beech leaves have been used by women in the past to bring on their menses, and they also should not be used then by pregnant women. The nuts are small but sweet and edible. And these nutritious nuts are very tasty, but not everyone is very familiar with the fact that you can eat these beech nuts. Young leaves can be cooked as a grain in the spring. The inner bark can be made into a bread flour after you dry it and pulverize it, and was often considered a great survival food. Similar to oak species, the availability of American beech nuts is highly variable, and it undergoes a natural cycle called masting. This is something that oaks do as well. In this cycle, bumper crops of beech nuts are available, say, every 3 to 6 years, and sometimes it'll only be 2 to 4 years. Production during an abundant crop year may be 80% higher than in a low production year. And the American beech generally begins producing seed when it's 40 years old. This is not a tree you're going to plant in your yard and sit around and anxiously wait on it to produce nuts. By the time it's 60 years old, this tree can produce large quantities of nuts. Many, many birds and mammals feed on beech nuts, including the ruffed grouse, turkeys, wood ducks, blue jays, white-breasted nuthatches, and various woodpeckers, as well as black bear, foxes, squirrels, chipmunks, mice, feral hogs, and of course deer. It has a high level of attractiveness to a large variety of wildlife. And that's really due to the fact that American beech nuts are high in protein and fat, which is something that acorns are not. They're not high in protein and fat. And over 1/3 of the composition of a beech nut is carbohydrates. American beech also provides great nesting habitat for a variety of birds, and cavities within the older trees provide beautiful dens for owls, squirrels, and other mammals. Now we're going to come to another tree that's similar to beech, but this is the birch. Don't get them confused. The birch species are well known, especially that beautiful white-barked variety. The inner bark of birches is edible, which makes it a great survival food. Native Americans and pioneers dried and ground the inner bark into flour for bread, and you can cut the bark into strips and boil it like noodles to add it to soups and stews, and even eat it raw. In the spring, you can drink the tree's sap directly from the tree or boil it down into a slightly sweet syrup, again, similar to maple. Birch is one of the easiest trees to identify, and the papery bark gives it away in any season. Birch bark is antibacterial and was used to create storage containers that helped keep food from spoiling. Birch sap also has medicinal properties, and in Eastern Europe, it is still used medicinally. Birch sap also is called birch water, and it has a reputation in folk medicine for breaking kidney or bladder stones and for treating skin conditions and even rheumatic diseases. Birch water can be drunk in spring as a refreshing and cleansing tonic, clearing the sluggishness of winter from your system. And the fermented sap also makes birch wine, and some folks made kind of a country beer from it. It's also been used to treat gout and scurvy, and has been promoted by some as a nutritional supplement for newborns and young children. Modern medicine has found that a component of birch sap called betulinic acid has anti-tumor properties, and it's currently being researched for its ability to fight cancer. Some people say it's also showing promise in the treatment of HIV. Paper birches are popular with landscapers and gardeners because of that beautiful exfoliating bark. And also, it's popular with wildlife for many reasons. Insects may shelter under that peeling bark, and birds and small mammals consume the birch seeds and the flowers. Doug Tallamy, a renowned expert in the science of plant-insect interactions, ranks birch as the fourth most supportive group of trees for butterflies and moths. And that's supporting the caterpillars. Birch trees do not rely on insect pollination, but they are still a key source of habitat for the insects. And birch trees provide a food source with their leaves for an estimated 413 species of butterflies and moths. Well, that concludes my broadcast for today. Please join me again in 2 weeks when I'll cover more edible and useful Ohio native trees and shrub species. This is Gail Martin signing out for In the Green Outdoors.
And there's your show for the week. In the Green Outdoors is a production of WZMO Radio. The show airs Saturdays and Mondays right after the second cup at about 9:30 a.m. If you have a question or comment for Carol or Gail, you can email it. Thank you for listening.